What would you do with 5,000 years of life? This question haunts every page of Thirst Number 1, where we meet Elisa Pern, a 5,000-year-old vampire who predates the pyramids yet appears as an ordinary teenager in modern California. Unlike the romanticized vampires that would later populate young adult fiction, Elisa represents a more complex moral universe. She walks freely in sunlight, regards religious symbols with indifference, and maintains a carefully crafted human facade. Though she can eat normal food, her true sustenance comes from blood, a primal hunger that resurfaces weekly with undeniable force. Her supernatural abilities are staggering, hearing a leaf break a mile away, distinguishing individual heartbeats in crowds, seeing the moon's craters without telescopic aid, and moving with such speed that human eyes perceive only a blur. When Detective Michael Riley summons Elisa to his office on a rainy evening, she immediately senses his tension. He's investigating her vast financial empire, billions accumulated over millennia through careful investments. As he questions her about impossibly old accounts, Elisa deliberately drops her human facade. Her voice deepens with the weight of 50 centuries, carrying echoes of dead languages and vanished civilizations. Riley's racing heartbeat betrays his fear, despite his professional demeanor. When he refuses her million-dollar offer for information about his employer, something predatory awakens in Elisa. Moving with inhuman speed, she delivers a calculated kick that crushes his ribcage. Before he dies, she extracts one crucial name, Slim, then meticulously removes all evidence of her presence. The next day, she creates a new identity as Laura Adams to infiltrate Mayfair High and target Ray Riley, the detective's son. That night, driven by blood hunger, she feeds on a truck driver, but shows unusual mercy by healing his wounds with a drop of her ancient blood, a predator capable of occasional compassion. Sita, as she was originally named, was born in a small village in Rajasthan around 3000 BC. When a devastating plague struck her village, an Agaran priest performed a forbidden ceremony on her pregnant friend's corpse, creating a boy whom Sita named Yaksha. This child developed at an alarming rate, displaying unsettling intelligence and physical prowess far beyond human limitations. After Sita married and had a daughter, her peace was shattered when Yaksha returned, now fully grown and radiating supernatural power. He threatened her family unless she joined him, his once childish devotion twisted into dark obsession. In a ritual that echoed his own creation, he forced her to taste his blood, thick and sweet like honey, yet burning like molten metal, transforming her through a process that merged death and rebirth. The transformation was excruciating yet exhilarating. Her breathing and heartbeat accelerated to impossible speeds until they ceased entirely. The worst agony and her greatest shame was her own desire. As her humanity slipped away, she embraced Yaksha, knowingly cursing her own soul. After 50 years of bloodshed with Yaksha, stories spread of Krishna, a divine man who could slay demons. When they confronted him, Krishna challenged Yaksha to a musical duel, filling a pit with cobras and playing flutes to control the serpents. Though Yaksha was skilled, Krishna's playing transcended mere music, each note vibrating different centers in Sita's body, stirring profound emotions. The snakes eventually turned on Yaksha, biting him repeatedly. After Yaksha collapsed, Krishna offered Sita mercy. "I will let you live if you obey my command. If you never make another of your kind, you will have my grace, my protection." He whispered to her, "Where there is love, there is my grace. Remember that." Krishna secretly instructed Yaksha to kill all other vampires. Sita fled as Yaksha hunted down their kind over centuries. Eventually, she heard Yaksha himself was burned to ash during the Black Plague. She never made another vampire, but continued her solitary existence through the ages, amassing wealth while maintaining anonymity.
In present-day California, Elisa's carefully constructed world begins to unravel when she discovers Detective Riley had been tracking her for months. The investigation was commissioned by Mr. Slim, a Swiss national with unusual interest in her background. Riley had uncovered her intricate financial network, offshore accounts and brokerage houses carefully built over decades to conceal her wealth exceeding $500 million. When Elisa arranges a meeting with Slim, her enhanced senses detect armed operatives surrounding the location. They capture her with specially designed gold-colored restraints, suggesting knowledge of vampires' vulnerabilities. During transport, she escapes at a gas station bathroom, killing Slim's companion and taking him captive. Under questioning, Slim reveals his employer, Rick Graham, described as tall with distinctive long dark hair and unnaturally pale blue eyes. The description sends chills through Elisa as she recognizes Yaksha, her ancient adversary whom she believed dead. Despite Slim's pleas for mercy, she ends his life without hesitation, drinking his blood to restore her strength. As Yaksha closes in, Elisa forms unexpected connections with Ray Riley and Seymour Dorston, a sickly young man with AIDS who senses her true nature. When Yaksha finally arrives, he reveals he's tired and wishes to die, but must destroy Elisa to fulfill his vow to Krishna. In a cruel move, he mortally wounds Ray, forcing Elisa to choose between watching him die or breaking her 5,000-year vow by creating another vampire. As Ray lies dying, Elisa offers him her blood, promising he won't have to hurt people. She transforms him, breaking her sacred vow to Krishna. In the confrontation that follows, Elisa plans to destroy Yaksha with dynamite. At the last moment, Yaksha reveals that Krishna's message, "Where there is love, there is my grace," applies to her act of love in saving Ray. In the explosion, Elisa is impaled through the heart by a splintered piano leg. As blood pools around her head, she looks at Ray with such love she feels she sees Krishna's face. "Love you," she whispers, believing in Krishna's grace and miracles. Though Elisa survives, the wound becomes a permanent affliction, a throbbing reminder of her vulnerability. She discovers Eddie Fender, a morgue employee who stole Yaksha's remains and created uncontrolled vampires across Los Angeles. During their confrontation, Ray sacrifices himself to destroy Eddie's vampires, his eyes briefly blazing with Krishna's divine blue light before flames engulf him. In her final battle with Eddie, Elisa finds herself weakened but remembers Krishna's victory through music. She whistles tunes targeting emotional centers, lowering Eddie's guard enough to decapitate him. With her remaining strength, she returns to FBI agent Joel Drake, mortally wounded in the fight. Despite his refusal and Krishna's warning, she transfuses her immortal blood into him, breaking her vow again. After 5,000 years, Elisa's journey leaves her with humanity's same questions: the nature of love, meaning of existence, and possibility of redemption. Her story reminds us that even the longest life is defined not by duration, but by moments of love, sacrifice, and the search for meaning.